Okay, let's call this meeting of the Senate Resources Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 3:30 p.m. on Friday, April 12, 2019. Let the record also reflect that we have a quorum. Present are Vice Chair Coghill, Senator Giesel, Senator Reinbold is excused, Senator Kawasaki is excused, Senator Keel is here, and myself, Chairman Birch. I would ask you to remember to turn off your cell phones so they don't interrupt us this afternoon. We have two items on the agenda this afternoon. The first, Senate Joint Resolution 10, completion of the university land grant. And then number two, the governor's two appointees to the Board of Game, Al Barrett and Fairbanks and Orville Huntington of Fairbanks. We will be taking up SGR 10 first and then move to the Board of Game appointees. We will be taking public testimony on the appointees, so if you have not already signed up to testify, please do so on the sign-up sheet outside the committee room door or with the LIO staff prior to 4:30 p.m. If we don't conclude public testimony this afternoon, we will continue during the next meeting. Our first up here is SJR 10. This is the first hearing on this resolution. It's my intent to take no more than 30 minutes to allow the sponsor to introduce a resolution, take invited testimony, and then set it aside to take public testimony on another day. With that, Mr. Lampkin, please come forward, put your name in the record, and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. First, Senator Stevens very much wants to thank the chairman and the committee for hearing this bill. He's unfortunately was traveling today, and I'm here in his stead. The bill resolution before you and the land grant status of university has, if I might say, has an interesting, if not underwhelming, history. They've been going around with this issue for quite some time, about a century, if not more, depending on who you ask. And I'm going to say preemptively that you may hear of some incongruities, if you will, from in the way the whereases have been construed in this resolution regarding the history of the university and the land grant issue. And as Senator Stevens is an enthusiastic student of history, we're standing by as shepherds to make whatever changes to that language as are necessary to make a find an agreement on the fair and true summary of frankly how we got here. With that being said, here we are. I believe there is consensus that there is there being, in their words, a land grant deficit on our hands here, held by the University of Alaska, and therefore I encourage you, at least at this time, to focus your attention on the resolve of this resolution, at least for now. Our current budget climate is such that Senator Stevens wishes to provide the university with an opportunity to find other financial means to support itself in the form of its land holdings, and ultimately the goal being to rely less on our general fund. So that's why you have the resolution here, and to the extent that the U.S. Congress is involved in this issue, this Senator Stevens is also responding to a request from Senator Murkowski to help us in giving a message to Congress that we'd like them to participate in a fix on this issue. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I don't want to hold anything up. Just that's my introductory comments. There are some stakeholders, the university representatives and the state representatives standing by to help participate in this process.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lampkin. I would also like to note for the record that Senator Bishop has joined us. What's the, or is he going to roll with the presentation? Any questions for Mr. Lampkin? Seeing none? Great. Thank you very much. I believe we have a short slide deck here. Miles, please come forward. Put your name on the record and welcome this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Miles Baker, Associate Vice President of Government Relations for the University of Alaska. Thank you for having us here today. I am joined, I believe, on the phone by Andy Harrington, who's Associate General Counsel with our General Counsel's Office for the System, as well as Tina Thomas, who's our Senior Property Manager at the Land Management Office. to assist me with any questions that might come up, and we just have a quick presentation today. The University of Alaska is a land-grant university. I will say of the 49 states that received college land grants, only Delaware received less acreage than Alaska. Hawaii was given cash in lieu of a land grant. And a land grant university, sometimes called land grant college or land grant institution, is a institution of higher education in the United States that's granted federal land for them to sell, to raise funds, and to establish and endow a college in every state. The concept originated in the Morrill Act in the late 1800s with the mission of focusing on teaching of practical agriculture, science, military science, engineering, sort of developing the West in response to the Industrial Revolution. Today, there are about 70 land-grant institutions around the country. However, under explicit terms included in the Alaska Statehood Act, Alaska is the only state that hasn't been extended the Morrill Act benefit. Although the legislature has attempted several times to grant land to the university, those efforts have not been successful. I would refer you, it's a fascinating history that has gone on since the late 1800s, and I would refer you in your packets, there's a very well done by Mr. Harrington white paper on the various stages of that history. I won't go into all of that today, but today the university owns about 150,000 acres. Most of that was from the 1929 Sutherland Act. We've also received some private donations as well as some from local governments. But by our estimation, that still, as you see here on slide three, still leaves us with about a 360,000-acre deficit or gap based on what we believe the original federal land-grant laws would have allowed. And the federal government's position really has been that the university's land was included as part of the Statehood Act grant. And so they have resisted the Alaska legislative delegation over the years, not so much recently, but over the many intervening years has tried on numerous occasions for a federal resolution. And the federal government's position has pretty much been that the state got the federal land they're going to get at the Statehood Act. So they've resisted any solution to this that would have required additional federal land.
Miles, do you want to take questions as you go, or
how
does this distinguish itself from the mental health trust lands, which are also they had at some point in time there was a kerfluffle and they had to get kind of carved out of the state lands. Is that something that didn't happen, that shouldn't have happened? I mean, the mental health trust lands, if I remember right, I think those are aggregated all together with the state lands, right?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to defer that to Mr. Harrington. May have a comment. I would say that.
This is Andy Harrington in Fairbanks. Can people hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. It is the case that in some respects the university's land grant situation is parallel to that of the Mental Health Lands Trust. I think the difference, and as a matter of fact, there was legislation passed in 1978 that the legislature was saying we're going to treat all these mental health land trust selections and university land trust selections as part of the general grant. That legislation made it contingent on approval by the Board of Regents, and the Board of Regents did not approve. There wasn't an option for approval or disapproval for the Mental Health Lands Trust, but they did later bring a lawsuit and resulting in a ruling that the legislation had violated the trust and the trust had to be reconstituted. The university is not really anxious to try to litigate this issue, so that's why we're pursuing a collaborative legislative solution rather than going to court. But it is the case that the Mental Health Lands Trust was in a very parallel situation to the University Lands Trust. I hope that answers the question.
It certainly does. And Mr. Harrington, could you again give your title?
Sure. I'm Associate General Counsel with the University of Alaska.
Perfect. Yeah, well, that's very helpful. Thank you. That's kind of what I generally remember, but I agree with you, and I'm supportive of the university getting their land grant, and appreciate the background. Please proceed.
So, Mr. Chairman, so as you see here on page three, we do have about 139,000 acres that we would consider investment, potential investment lands, and then 12,000 that are educational. And the educational lands would be those that have our campus research sites used for an educational purpose. But clearly a robust permanent land endowment for the university would allow us to generate more revenue. And the current land management office, last year in the fiscal year 18, the most recent we have full data on, generated $10 million in gross receipts from real estate, natural resource development. The 20-year average annual receipts for the land management office are about $8.5 million. And that since 1987, we've generated about $221 million, most of that through real estate, some through timber, small amount in mineral and mining, and even smaller amount in oil and gas. But the net incomes of those, the distributions obviously from land management and trying to monetize those activities benefit our educational programs, campuses, the university foundation, and we use, for example, those receipts for the Alaska Scholars Program, which funds the top 10% of high school graduates. So very important effort. I would say the most recent attempt to resolve this ended with, and you can reference it in your that white paper, but in a Supreme Court decision in 2009 that determined that the estate transfer of land to the university to an endowment would be a violation of the dedication clause of the Constitution. And so there's one exemption in there's two exemptions to that clause, but there's one relevant to us, which is the fourth bullet here on slide four, when required by the federal government for state participation in a federal program. So over the last several years, we've been working on such a program or a concept. The state has a number of outstanding issues as well with the federal government with regard to its final selection of its 5 million Statehood Act land selections. And we believe that the university should be part of those negotiations, sort of in trying to resolve those, in essence, final federal state land issues. So working very actively with the Alaska delegation, the new administration, the DNR commissioner, and the Department of Interior on concepts on how we may resolve that and do it in a way that complies and is consistent with the state constitution. And then, Mr. Chairman, just a couple couple slides just to show you some of the historic receipts from the lands we do have, and you will see it's pretty sporadic. It gives you the different categories, real estate, timber, oil and gas, mining, and gravel. And you'll see you get major pickups there, particularly around real estate sales or building sales or the timber harvest we've had over the years. We would certainly like, just like with the state, to develop this endowment in a way that generates a predictable long-term stream of revenue for educational benefit. And this just gives you the balance of the trust on this final slide. And so as of last year, sitting there around a little less than $160 million. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to take questions or refer to my online colleagues if the committee has any questions.
Great. Questions? Mary Giesel?
Thank you. So I think it was last year, maybe the year before, this committee had a similar hearing. And I believe we sent forward a similar resolution or letter. I think we sent forward a letter. Has any progress been made at all?
Through the chair, Senator Giesel, absolutely. I guess progress has been made in the evolution of potential solutions. We have been in active conversation since I've been with the university a little over 2 years with the delegation on whether and what a federal piece of legislation would look like, if a federal piece of legislation is actually needed to create this federal program. And so our thinking has evolved a bit. I would say the new administration, Governor Dunleavy, and the president has mentioned this several times, even Senator Dunleavy was very interested in working on getting this resolved, and the new administration and the new commissioner of DNR are very engaged on this. And so we are optimistic that we may be able to do some of this administratively. We are working with DNR relative to their selected yet conveyed lands. So I think progress is being made. We haven't seen an acre transferred yet, but we are optimistic. We do believe we have a very positive but narrow window right now with, or at least certain window within the next 2 years with the Department of Interior being positively interested in trying to make this happen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. Other questions? Senator Kiel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if this question is better for the university's representative or the sponsor's representative, but the conversation so far has been fascinating and oblique. Trying to make what happen? So there's been a joint strategy and land grant and a conversation with the federal delegation. I'm lost. Trying to make what result occur?
Through the chair, Senator Giel, I'll try to answer. In essence, we are in a quandary that's stymied this for, well, certainly since 2009. There are many reasons why the land didn't get transferred back prior to that. But where the federal government feels that this really the state has the land that should be transferred to the university and is not inclined to give more federal land to address that, and the state constitution, as of 2009 Supreme Court decision, prohibits the state from transferring the land to the university. So what we're trying to make happen is the land to transfer to the university. We are trying to come up with a way to do that that basically is in compliance and with the state constitution. And so there's a provision in the Constitution that allows dedication of in this case land, because the interpretation from the Supreme Court was land in this case that was in meant to be monetized for the benefit of the university was in essence funds. And so there's a provision that allows a federal program to be created, or if it's in compliance with the federal program. So that's what we're working on.
Thank you. Follow up.
thank you. That's helpful. How much land?
The 2000 bill, I think, was a 250,000 acres. This slide describes 360,000 acres. What number are we looking at?
Through the chair, Senator Kiel, we the university's, I guess, estimation of what we believe we're owed under the original federal laws that established land-grant universities is about 360,000 acres. That, I guess, is going to be part of what's discussed. If that land is coming principally, as we would anticipate, from the state, from land that DNR has or DNR will have after they receive their final federal lands, it will just be part of the negotiation. I think the challenge is that the state obviously wants the most valuable lands possible for the state's treasury. At the same time, the whole purpose of the university getting these lands is for us to generate money. So it's finding that right balance, and if 360 ends up being the right number or not. But that's the number we're using right now as a starting point.
And then one more
follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the question would then be, what would this federally required strategy look like? And I ask with a specific eye toward who's choosing: university, DNR, the legislature, the feds. How's that work? Who's choosing which land?
I might, if I could intervene here, I'll just note that we do have a representative from the Department of Natural Resources that's for invited testimony to follow up, if you know, to supplement, if you will.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, I'd maybe let Mr. Harrington opine on that. I don't think we know yet, but I'll refer to him.
Okay. Mr. Harrington, any...
Yes, Mr. Chair. This is Andy Harrington, Associate General Counsel with the University of Alaska. Senator Keel, through the chair. Right now, the model that we have, which is not necessarily what would come out at the other end, would be that DNR and the university would be jointly agreeing on a set of lands that would then be put through a federal program. The federal program would be voluntary on the state's part, a cooperative federalism type program where the state of Alaska doesn't put any land into this federal program that it does not want to put into the federal program. The land would come out of the federal program with a federally imposed trust responsibility that the land be used for the benefit of the University of Alaska, and that we anticipate that the patent would be issued to the university. So it would be voluntary on the state's part in terms of the state decides how much and what lands to put in. There would be the purpose of the program, the condition of putting lands into the program would be that the intent is that be dedicated by federal law to the University of Alaska. I hope that at least partially answers the question.
Something to chew on. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Harrington. Next, we have a question from Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Harrington, so the land in question that we're trying to get is working within the $5 million that's already been appropriated tentatively by the federal government? But that's where we would draw from the university? Or is it outside the $5 million?
Senator Bishop, through the chair, again, this is kind of a contingent answer. We think that this would be that the lands from which the state could choose to put it through this federal program would be both lands that have been patented to the state and lands that have been tentatively approved to the state and lands that the state has selected but that the BLM has not yet decided upon. So we anticipate that the lands that will be going into the federal program would be coming from one of those three sets of sources.
Right. Inside the 5 million acres yet to be deeded to the state of Alaska. Or is this new land outside the 5 million that the state has selected?
It would be from lands that the state has selected, including lands that have already been patented to the state. In other words, the you know, anywhere in that 103.5 million acres of lands. We think, if our assuming our legal theory is correct, that the it would not necessarily be limited to the 5 million remaining entitlement of the state under the Statehood Act selections. We think the state could choose to put lands into it that the state has already received. I hope that clarifies things.
You did. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Andy. I don't see any more questions. Miles, thank you very much for your presentation. And I would just say that we do have invited testimony from Marty Parsons with the Department of Natural Resources. Are you online, Marty?
Good afternoon, Senator Birch. Yes, I am.
You are, the floor is yours.
All right, very good. Good afternoon, Senator, and members of the Natural Resources Committee. I'm Marty Parsons. I'm the Director of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water, which is, of course, within the Department of Natural Resources. My comments will be real short here this afternoon, but I would like to thank you for the opportunity to speak on SJR 10 and concerning the university land grant. The Department of Natural Resources, we fully support the university's effort to diversify its funding sources, and the division is prepared to assist the university where appropriate in achieving those efforts. After reviewing SJR 10, the division has identified portions of the resolution where clarification could probably strengthen the resolution. And just a quick example of that is we look on page 2, line 29, simply removing acting, since Secretary Bernhardt has been confirmed. So those types of things that make the resolution really clear. DMLW looks forward to working with the sponsor and the university regarding SJR 10 and the university's efforts.
Great. Thank you very much. Were the university to highlight some of that state land, say, in and around Prudhoe Bay, would that be an option?
Senator Birch, through the... Oh boy!
You don't need to answer that. I'm a university alum. I was just checking.
And we support the university wholeheartedly. I think the thing we need to understand is that in 1993, all of the state lands that could be selected were selected. So there's no other lands that we can put into our pool to fulfill our entitlement. So pretty much the lands around Prudhoe Bay and the North Slope, there are some up there, but the majority of those have already been selected and conveyed to the state.
Got it. Any other questions for Mr. Parsons? Seeing none. Thank you very much for your testimony and being available this Friday afternoon. At this point, we will set the resolution aside for some fine-tuning and appreciate some of the comments that came in. We can make those updates. And as stated earlier, we will take public testimony at a later date. At this point, we will move on to the governor's appointees to the Board of Game. The board and commission's fact sheet reads, the function of the Board of Game is a conservation and development of Alaska's game resources. The board consists of 7 members appointed by the governor on the basis of interest in public affairs, good judgment, knowledge, ability in the field of action of the board, and with a view to providing diversity of interest and points of view in the membership. Members must be residents of the state and appointed without regard to political affiliation or geographical location of residence. The board typically meets 3 times per year for a total of 20 to 27 meeting days. Our first appointee is Al Barrett of Fairbanks. Mr. Barrett is a new appointee to the board, and if confirmed, his term would run from July 1st of this year to June 30th, 2022. Mr. Barrett, are you online?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me, Mr. Chairman?
Oh, there you are. Okay, I'm just getting squared away here. We certainly can. please proceed with your opening remarks. Introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about your experience, qualifications, and your interest in serving on the board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I thank you for this opportunity to address you. For the record, I'm Al Barrett. I moved to Fairbanks in 89 and lived here ever since. My lovely wife, Linda Bashke, works for the University of Alaska and enjoys practicing falconry with her peregrine falcon named Ulu. I have three grown children and one grandson, whose name is Riot, all born in Fairbanks. My son works in a construction company. My oldest daughter lives in Arizona and works as an elementary school teacher. And my youngest daughter works at a local business and recently hired as a ticket agent for an airline company. I graduated from high school in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin in 1984. In my early youth, I enjoyed hunting, trapping, and fishing with my brothers and my dad, and my dad showed us all how to appreciate the outdoors. My dad showed myself and my brothers how to responsibly hunt, fish, and trap. One thing that was ingrained on us at a young age was to take only what you needed and treat everything you've harvested with respect. I learned at a young age also how to process fish and game so we could use it at later dates. At the age of 12, I started working on a dairy farm. In 82, I was promoted to a dairy herdsman. And in 1984, I joined the Army as a wheeled vehicle mechanic. I was stationed in South Carolina, Washington, and Germany, where I reenlisted for another term so I could be transferred to Fairbanks, Alaska, where I've always wanted to be for a long time. I was honorably discharged from the Army and started a fur tanning business in 1992. This is when I started to get engaged with the public and with the public on a daily basis, hearing about the complexity of regulations and how things came to exist from where they were. I used to manufacture wolf traps. I no longer manufacture those traps. I sold that business about 5 years ago to pay for my daughter's college. About some time in 95, I was hooked and I dove in head first. I started getting involved with the board game process. There was much to learn about it, and I'm still learning about it today. Around 2005, I was encouraged to apply for a seat on the Fairbanks Fish and Game Advisory Committee. I was elected to that committee. This would be my foundational basis to understanding process, public involvement, management, learning laws and regulations, biology, subsistence and sustained yield principles, and providing wild resources for future generations in Alaska, and many other issues. I've been the chair of the trapping subcommittee for the advisory committee and also the subcommittee chairman for the game side. I've also sat representing the AC on special working groups such as the sheep working group, the 40-mile caribou plan, the wood bison reintroduction group, and the Western Arctic Caribou working group. All of these groups that I have participated in have showed me the importance of working with others and learning the knowledge that others bring to a meeting. I have had several mentors along this journey, and I have been a great help to me in understanding education and educating me in wildlife management. I'd also like to recognize the many hours our local fish and game office has spent with me and others on the advisory committee educating us. 2007, I received a Class A guides license. I continue to subsistence trap and supplement my income and teaching fur handling and trapping methods. I also participate in subsistence hunting and educate people about the advisory committee and board process. I was encouraged by many peers and people from the public to apply to the Board of Game. They felt I had a strong background and knowledge of wildlife, not only in the interior region, but many other regions in the state. I believe I would make a good board member because I understand sustained yield principles, the importance of protecting subsistence opportunities and traditional uses and customs. Understanding the complexity of statutory law is very important, and also the importance of AC participation in or at the board process or board meetings, and also recognizing the great public knowledge that comes to those meetings through public testimony and written comments. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Barrett, for your testimony and presentation. I'll see if there's any questions from committee members. Senator Keel?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Barrett, I have to start off. You mentioned the Wood Bison Working Group. Any sense how many years till I can start making my donations to not win one of those tags along with the Delta Bison?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, it would have been a lot closer if we didn't have a bad winter a couple of years ago. But rest assured, I talked to the area biologists or the biologists in charge of the wood bison, and they've been very productive in having a good spring. So maybe in about 6 or 7 years.
I'll keep my cash in my wallet till then. thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Barrett, you've probably seen a lot of emails coming in. So some couple of questions for you. One would be about a past proposal having to do with baiting and brown bears. Can you sort of help the committee with your thoughts on how appropriate that notion is and where it might fit if you saw that sort of proposal today?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, there's been several different proposals dealing with either grizzly bears or black bears, and if you could narrow it down for me, I can maybe speak on it.
Mr. Chairman, specific to brown bears, please.
Through the chair, Senator Keel, was there a certain unit or time frame?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Barrett, I'm hoping to sort of draw out your philosophy here. So when might it be appropriate? When might it be inappropriate? What are your thoughts on grizzly bears?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, that's based on biological data and abundance of or lack of abundance of grizzly bears and input from local knowledge and from the ACs. And I would use all those tools or suggestions at my hand to make an informed decision based on a sustained yield basis.
Include your questions?
On that topic, a couple okay. others?
Pardon me?
A couple other topics, Mr. Chairman?
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Barrett, I guess maybe a little more broadly, there have been, the board is often adjusting and fine-tuning some of the state's intensive management regime under the laws that the legislature's put in place. And there are some, I think, that have been no-brainers and some that I've puzzled at the board's decision. Can you help me go through sort of your thought process on where the predator control programs are more important? I know you've participated in the past, so can you sort of help me think about what maybe the best way to ask the question would be, what would be a proposal that went too far in your view?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, I don't know if I have an answer to a project that's been going on that went too far, but I really start basing my decision off the statutory law of intensive management and the data that the department presents to us to see if they match together.
Could you envision a proposal that took it beyond?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, I could probably imagine somebody writing a proposal up that went too far.
Mr. Chairman, I'm hoping, Mr. Brett, I promise I'm not trying to set any traps. I'm just sort of trying to get your thoughts. What might that sort of notion look like to you?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, one that wasn't in statutory compliance.
Good. All right. I see no additional questions from committee members, and I just wanted to thank you, Al, for your willingness to serve and ask if you could remain available till we've concluded public testimony, and then it's the intent of the chair that each of the nominees will have an opportunity following public testimony for concluding comments. Thank you very much, sir. Next, we have Orville Huntington of Fairbanks. Although he has served on the Board of Fish from 2012 till this year, this would be Mr. Huntington's first term on the Board of Game. If confirmed, his term would run from July 1st of this year to June 30th, 2022. Mr. Huntington, are you online?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Great. We can hear you. Please proceed with your opening remarks and give us a little baby about your experience, qualifications, and your interest in serving on the board.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Orville Huntington. I'm originally from Hooslea, but I live now in Fairbanks for work. I moved here for my children's college education and helped them get to University of Alaska system there and for better health care that we don't have out in rural Alaska. My primary employer is still Canada Chiefs Conference, where I serve as Wildlife and Parks Director. I do a lot of hunting, fishing, and I used to do a lot of trapping. I don't do anything, those things commercially, but I do share a lot of it when it comes in for memorial potlatch ceremony, things like that. And a lot of people from around the state share wildlife resources with me through personal use hunting and other ways to get meat and fish. I don't really have too much more than that. I do a lot of science work with the international science boards and committees. Been on educational boards for most of my life, and then I switched over to do Board of Fisheries for 7 years, where I looked out to protect all our fishermen's interests around the state of Alaska, and wanted to make sure we had some state fisheries that of our own that we could prosecute and manage. More of that would have been welcome. I don't really have too much more. I support the Department of Fish and Game and all they do. I'm a wildlife biologist by training, so very little I don't know about wildlife, and raised in the village by a lot of Native elders, so very little I don't know about Native culture. Long history of Huntington serving on the Board of Game and Board of Fisheries as well as the legislature. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much for your opening remarks, Mr. Huntington. I'll see if there are any questions from committee members. I see no questions. Thank you very much for your willingness to serve, Orville. And if possible, could you remain online until we've concluded public testimony?
Yes, sir. I'll be here.
Great. And when we conclude public testimony, we'll have an opportunity for a brief response and a wrap-up. So thank you very much, sir. With that, we will open public testimony. If you haven't already signed up to testify on the sheet outside the committee room door or with the LIO staff, please do so before 4:30 p.m. I would ask that testifiers please keep their comments to under 2 minutes to ensure everyone has a chance to be heard. I would also encourage testifiers to please submit additional written testimony to senateresources@alaska.gov. Again, written testimony is welcome at that email address as well. With that, let's see if we have any testifiers in the room. Let's see. Is there anybody in the room signed up? Please. I don't think we have a sign-up sheet. Oh, I'm sorry. Right at the top. Okay. Okay. This is right here, off net. Let's see. I'm sorry. Get LIO, Juno, in room. Gotcha. Okay. Oh, there we go. This is all automated. It's in addition to the sign-up, we actually have it. It's in an iPad in front of me. So we have Lynn Davis. Sorry about the confusion there. Please give her name and affiliation for the record, and you have 2 minutes. Thank you for being here this afternoon.
Yes, thank you very much, Senators. Lynn Davis, Juneau resident. And for 26 years, I've been interested in the board. I am a wildlife appreciator, and I have been concerned all of those years, except for maybe 2 years, when I felt like some of my interests and my values were reflected on the board. Otherwise, the Board of Game has been hunters and trappers and guides and people promoting non-resident usage or killing of our animals. So in researching these candidates, and you probably have in your packets, there are many people who are very concerned about past judgment, past decisions, past words, past behavior of Al Barrett. And I am testifying today to encourage you not to confirm him. I think in these times we need people for the Board of Game who have demonstrated the highest level of professional judgment and good communications. I listened to his testimony in House Resources, and he was asked many, many questions, Mr. Barrett, and nothing that he said helped me have confidence that my values as a non-consumptive user of wildlife would be honored. And because there's been such an imbalance on this Board of Game, and I would encourage you to not confirm him and find somebody more professional. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, Ms. Davis. Next, we have signed up in the room Ron Somerville, Territorial Sportsman. Please put your name for the record, and we'll have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. my name is Ron Somerville. I'm resident of Juneau, lifelong resident of Alaska. I grew up in Craig. It's a long ways away from some of these more complicated issues. I thank Senator Geisel, by the way, who was very helpful in us getting our license increased through. We were one of the first organizations that came out in support of that. Anyway, Territorial Sportsman is a local conservation sportsman organization. We have about 1,200 members. Most of them are fishermen, and fish in our derby every year. And we have, I've submitted to the chairman a copy of our letter. We're supporting all three candidates. Jerry Burnett's already had a hearing. And Orville, I've worked with him a lot in the Fisheries Committee, a very honorable, well-positioned, considerate individual. We certainly support him, and we support Al Burnett. I spend some of my time talking about Al. He's kind of getting a bad rap, although I do respect the previous testimony of the individual, her perspective on board members. However, we do have several things in mind. We have a constitution that requires use of our resources to the maximum benefit of its people. That a lot of us are non-consumptive users, but we also participate in what we normally call subsistence activities. In addition, the legislature passed a intensive management law, and expecting a board member to go in there, whatever their beliefs are. And I worked with Ben Grusendorf for many, many years, a very non-consumptive use advocate, if you will. We disagreed on issues, but I will respect the fact that he represented very well. And the point is, most of us are non-consumptive users in some form. I enjoy it as much as I do harvesting. But the intensive management law says if, in fact, there's a conflict, you must manage those resources to the benefit of the people for food, those specific resources mentioned. And they don't have an option. The other thing I want to mention is, well.
Do you just wrap up your comments?
Is the Pritikin, is the Denali buffer. He's been criticized for his role in that. And I worked for 4 years on Governor Hammond's task force on D2. And I was responsible for most of the mapping that was done during that whole process. And that whole issue of buffers is kind of an irony because all of this, we more than doubled the size of national parks in Alaska with the various types of additions that were made, particularly the national preserves. Those were the buffers. We're talking about millions of acres for buffers.
Thank you.
But this Denali thing became a conflict.
Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, Mr. Somerville. Next, we will go to the Fairbanks LIO, and we have Mike Tinker, the Alaska Wildlife Conservation Association. Can you hear us, Mike?
I can. I'm a Senator. Can you hear me?
You can. You're on. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you very much. My name is Mike Tinker. I live in Esther, Alaska, just west of Fairbanks here, and I'm speaking today for the Alaska Wildlife Conservation Association, also known as the Laundry House Gang, which is out of respect for our original founder, Bill Hager. We're the folks that drafted that intensive management statute to help the Department of Fish and Game focus on managing game resources for Alaskans' uses. Certainly, if there are abundant wildlife resources, much more productive to manage them and to allocate them. And the board is the authority for allocation. When asked who should serve on the board, we support Alaskans who are experienced hunters and trappers and look for those who have been involved in the management and regulatory system as advisory committee participants, always recognizing that there are Alaskans who do not support hunting and trapping and trying to be respectful for their needs as well. For myself, I have been a longtime hunter. I've served on the AC as both a member and chairman for over 20 years. I've worked on special committees for the board. I worked on one for the Denali Buffer Zone, one for the 40-mile caribou, participated actually in the drafting of several intensive management plans. I'd like to speak today for both Mr. Barrett and Mr. Huntington for the Board of Game. Mr. Barrett is one of the best qualified appointees to come before the committee in the three decades I've been involved with the Board of Game. Although this is a political process, he is the least political person I know. He has served on, represented the Fairbanks community on the advisory committee for 15 years and volunteers for special considerations like fur auctions held by the Alaska trappers in Anchorage and Fairbanks. He's an expert in the process for considering regulations at several levels, and especially on issues of subsistence. Mr. Huntington is also an experienced board member coming off the Board of Fish, and we are lucky to have him continue his service to Alaskans by applying for the Board of Game. He is another of this group of appointees who understand the subsistence needs of Alaskans, and I urge your support of this group to serve us on the Board of Game.
Thank you.
These appointees exceed the criteria in Alaska Statute 1605-221. They are well qualified to serve on the Board of Game. We all know that Alaskan hunters are not divided by political affiliations. Hunters and trappers are Democrats and Republicans and independents or have no affiliation. And we would like you to remember those kind of issues that, as you quoted, Mr. Chairman, in the beginning. And with that, I will conclude my testimony and be available for any questions on those subjects. And I thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you for your testimony this afternoon, Mr. Tinker. Appreciate it. I would also wanted to note that I misspoke a little earlier. If you have written testimony, you can send it to Senate Resources at akleg.gov. With that, we move on in Fairbanks at the LIO to Virgil Umphenor with the Fairbanks Fish and Game Advisory Committee. Virgil, are you there?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman.
You have two
Good
minutes.
Afternoon, Mr. Chairman, and committee members. I'm representing the Fairbanks Fish and Game Advisory Committee. We met on Wednesday the 10th. We voted unanimously to confirm all of the governor's nominations for the Board of Game and the Board of Fish both. And specifically Al Barrett, he is one of our members on the Fairbanks Fish and Game Advisory Committee. He's been a member for approximately 15 years, and he's served on a number of working groups for the AC. And in addition to that, Al has a fur tanning business. And I have a meat and fish processing business in Fairbanks. And both of us have unique opportunities to relate with and work with the local hunters and fishermen. And so we have a lot of interaction with those people. So we get a lot of input on how the public feels about various issues that you wouldn't get if you didn't weren't actually in a business, such as the type of business that we're in. But I think extremely highly of Al. Our whole AC thinks highly of Al. And one thing I want to say about Mr. Barrett, and that is that his integrity and his ethics are beyond reproach. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, Mr. Umfenor. Next, we have Craig Campo in Fairbanks as well. Craig, you there?
Thank you. As a fellow business owner in Fairbanks, as well as an avid hunter and fisherman, I've known Mr. Brett for almost 20 years. I've attended literally hundreds of meetings that Al has attended regarding fish and game issues, access issues, and issues of subsistence, states' rights, and other issues all Alaskans are passionate about and should be. Never have I seen an individual with a better combination of three important qualities that make him what I consider an ideal candidate for this board. Those three are knowledge, effort, and fairness. Mr. Brett has a better grasp of the state's constitution, the codified, and the rules and regulations involving game than any other individual I've ever encountered. He does his homework on all issues, and he's involved with and researches precedent, historical analysis, and makes decisions based on all the information he can gather on the specific issue. The second quality I've noted is fairness. Mr. Brett also looks at both sides of an issue, always does, and carefully weighs the opinion of the parties involved, both consumptive and non-consumptive users, motorized and non-motorized, urban and rural, and so on. While we have differed on issues over the years, I find his arguments compelling and reasonable. That brings me to effort. In my 58 years in Alaska and after almost 40 years of involvement in these issues, I cannot think of one other person more dedicated to the cause of all Alaskans' rights to use the resource than we've been blessed with. His list of committee participation has been touched on, but until you've seen firsthand the dedication and effort as I have, traveling all over the state on his dime, by the way, to participate, comment on, and further educate himself on dozens of these critically important issues that allow all of us to benefit from the wildlife resources that we have been blessed with, it's hard to comprehend. In closing, I feel Mr. Brett would make an excellent choice on the Board of Game based on these three important qualities: knowledge, fairness, and an unmatched dedication. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon. Craig, could you give your name again just for the record?
Yes, it's Craig Campo, C-O-M-P-E-A-U.
Thank you very much, sir. Next, we have Susan Hansen. Please join us in Fairbanks, if you could give your name for the record and proceed.
Hi, my name is Susan Hansen. I live in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I oppose the nomination of Al Barrett as a member of the Board of Game. In general, I would say that the interests of people who are stakeholders and in Alaska's wildlife and also who are non-consumptive users, they are not considered at all. And I don't believe that Alvarez would consider any non-consumptive viewers' views. And I think out of all Alaskans, about 15% have hunting licenses, and about 1% have trapping licenses. So you cannot say that that Al Barrett, who is a trapper and is a owner of a fur tanning business, you cannot say that he has the interests of non-consumptive users in Alaska in his heart. So I don't approve of his nomination. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, Ms. Hansen. Next, we will move off net, and we have Joe Klutsch with in King Salmon representing himself. Joe, are you there?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Again, my name is Joe Klutsch, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to testify today. I testified earlier at a House Resources Committee hearing, and I'd like to state my support, and along with members of my community here, for the appointment of Orville Huntington and Al Barrett. The Huntington family has a tremendous community and family heritage, knowledge of wildlife resources and the culture of rural Alaska, and their commitment has just been extraordinary, really has, and I've been familiar with it. I've served here, I've been a hunting and fishing guide since 1976, and that's been my primary, that's been my life. And it's given me, I served 40 years, 39 years now, on a Fish and Game Advisory Committee, attended many Board of Game and Board of Fish meetings and Regional Council subsistence meetings, so I'm quite familiar with process. And certainly Mr. Huntington excels in that category. Albert also has extensive experience in advisory committee process and Board of Game process. He has a really good grasp of the statutes and regulations related to sustained yield and the allocation of resources. In some of the testimony, his motives or his integrity has been put into question, or his ability to properly represent Alaskans, and I think this is misguided, quite honestly. It's a responsibility of a Board of Game member to assess the stocks and conditions of game populations and listen to all the affected parties and user groups and make appropriate decisions. Al knows that process. And I'd also like to just mention that I've heard testimony today regarding non-consumptive use not being represented. I've had a hard time with that ever since ANILCA. As Mr. Somerville stated,
Mr.
the preserves were created following Antiquities Act and then into the Alaska Lands Act as more or less a compromise, but there were tremendous federal withdrawals, increasing the amount of federal land where no hunting and trapping is allowed.
Thank you, Mr. Klutch. Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon. I would remind listeners and anyone else interested that written testimony is always welcomed and appreciated and distributed with the committee members and the public. If you send it to senateresources@akledge.gov. Thanks. Thank you again, Mr. Klutch. Next, we move to Wayne Kubat with the Alaska Professional Hunters Association in Wasilla. Wayne, you there?
Yeah. Thank you, Chairman Burt and Senate Resources members. I'm Wayne Kubat, Vice President of Alaska Professional Hunters Association, APHA for short. I'm speaking today on their behalf. APHA would first of all like to extend our sincere appreciation to former board members Teresa Sager, Albaugh, Nate Turner, and Karen Linnell for their past commitment and service to Alaskans and our wildlife resources during their tenure on the Board of Game. The new nominees have big shoes to fill, but we feel confident that they will prevail. APHA supports both nominees and feel they will provide balance on the board. Mr. Barrett is a long-serving member of the Fairbanks AC. Many of our members know Al and consider him to be genuine, hardworking, and fair. He is knowledgeable on wildlife issues and cares about the process. He is a lifelong hunter and fisherman and is committed to ensuring that all Alaskans continue to have access to our fish and game resources that we all hold dear. Serving on the Board of Game requires a personal sacrifice of time and energy. We are confident that Mr. Barrett is willing to make that sacrifice. I believe he will be a strong asset to the board. Orville Huntington, APHA believes it is important to have a mix of different voices and viewpoints on the board. While the decisions that the board makes affect all Alaskans, they often have the greatest impact on rural areas. For this reason, we feel it is particularly critical to have a strong rural voice. We feel that Mr. Huntington will bring that voice to board deliberations. Finding qualified, fair-minded people who are willing to serve on the Board of Game is challenging. We appreciate that Mr. Huntington is willing to serve. We look forward to getting to know him through the process. The APHA respectfully asks that you support the appointments of Al Barrett and Orville Huntington and forward them on for confirmation. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, Mr. Kubat, and very much appreciate it. Next, we have Sylvia Panzarella, also off net from Anchorage. Sylvia, are you there?
I am. Uh-huh. And as you said, it's Sylvia Panzarella, and I represent myself and my husband. We have been in Anchorage for several years, and before that in Kodiak for many years. And I'm calling to say that we strongly oppose the appointment of Al Barrett to the Board of Game. This is not the first time that Mr. Barrett has been before the legislature for this position. He was nominated at that time about 10 years ago and was voted down due to extreme opinions and a conflict of interest that could affect decisions that he would be involved in making. He owns a business in Fairbanks that would benefit from killing certain animals and formerly sold wolf traps. He was known to personally go up in planes and shoot them from the air, and he has a viral video on YouTube skinning a wolf and talking about how his religion basically directs him to kill animals. And I'm not talking about just for food, which we have no problem with, but the extremeness of some of the board members needs to change. Also, there was a wonderful article by Bill Sherwanet in the Anchorage paper today, and it, among other things, it mentioned a wonderful article a scientific publication had called the Public Library of Science, which is well known. It was an article written about these things by three Alaskans. One was John Schoen, and second one, Sterling Miller, who are well-respected wildlife scientists, and a third was Sandy Rabinowitz, who had a long career with the National Park Service. I encourage all of you to look at that. I'd be happy to send you materials that I'm talking about. We don't need this sort of unbalanced Board of Game, and adding Mr. Barrett would be adding an extreme person to an already extreme Board of Game. This, we really need to do something about this, and you can stand up like the legislature did 10 years ago and say we don't accept this. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, Ms. Panzarella. Next, we have Mark Richards off net with the Resident Hunters of Alaska in Fairbanks. Mr. Richards, are you there?
Yeah, good afternoon, Chairman Birch and members of the committee. My name is Mark Richards. I'm the Executive Director of Resident Hunters of Alaska, and I'm here today testifying for 2,000 members in support of both Orville Huntington and Al Barrett to the Board of Game. Regarding Mr. Huntington, I've attended a lot of Board of Fish meetings. I was always impressed with how he conducted himself and especially his reasoned approach during deliberations on a lot of controversial fishing issues. He took the time to understand the issues. His experience on the Board of Fish carries over well to the Board of Game, and he will be an asset in particular on subsistence issues, and we sincerely thank him for being willing to serve on the Board of Game. Regarding Al Barrett, I'm currently vice chair of the Fairbanks Fish and Game Advisory Committee and serve with Al there. I've known him for over a decade in conjunction with wildlife management issues and our advisory committee and Board of Game process. He's respectful to the public at our meetings, and he is a great asset to our committee, and he will really be a loss to our committee after you confirm him next week to the Board of Game. You have our letter, so I won't go into much of that. I will say, as I said to the House Resources Committee, Al and Resident Hunters of Alaska don't necessarily agree 100% on what a resident hunting priority means. And as I've stated in other Board of Game hearings, we as an organization don't just support those who support us. Of course, we're hoping he'll come around. I'm just kidding. Seriously, though, Mr. Barrett is eminently qualified to serve on the board. And like Mr. Huntington, he can jump right into a seat with a full understanding of the process. And we hope you will confirm him. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon, Mr. Richards. Next, we have Barbara Breeze from Healy.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity to speak.
I've lived here in Healy, in and around Denali for about 35 years now. I've served on the, no longer, of course, but I served on the local Board of Game Advisory Committee and have attended many Board of Game hearings over the years. I oppose the appointment of Al Barrett to the Alaska Board of Game. And I keep hearing that Barrett is more knowledgeable about allocation. He should be on the board because he's around a lot of trappers, and he's a trapper, and he's in the business. But I suggest you don't have to kill wildlife, be a trapper or hunter, to watch it and to understand what's going out there, on out there. There's a lot of people, myself included, that spend a lot of time out there, and we've got a pretty good idea what's going on out there. Mr. Barrett's voting record is, boy, his conflict of interest with his business and his extremist ideology really make him, he's unqualified to make wise and ethical decisions on the Board of Game. And the chilling video of his 2010 interview for Backpacking Magazine really offers an example of this. So whether you call yourself a consumptive user or non-consumptive user, we all benefit from a healthy ecosystem. And I really encourage you, rather than appointing an unpopular figure such as Al Barrett, it seems smart to hold a spot for a nominee that create a more balanced perspective on the board. You keep hearing that. We've been over the years, many years, there hasn't been equity on that board. And why get someone that's so extreme? Just leave the spot open for somebody that can represent a broader Alaskan public. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon. Ms. Barbara, could you restate your name for the record?
Yes. Barbara Breeze. B-R-E-A-S-E.
Thank you very much, ma'am. That concludes everybody that's signed up online to testify. Is there anyone else in the room that wishes to testify? Seeing no one, we will close public testimony. And at this point, I would like to ask each of the appointees or the nominees if you have any closing comments for the committee. Mr. Barrett, do you have any final remarks for the committee?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really don't have any remarks. I just thank the committee for holding a hearing to listen to me and listen to others. I learned a great deal from hearing opposition and pros for myself, and I'll take that all into advice and dwell on it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Barrett, and thank you again for your willingness to serve. Next, Mr. Huntington, do you have any final remarks for the committee?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair, for considering my nomination. I really appreciate the legislature and the Senate for all they do up there in Juneau and the hard work you guys do, and I'm more thankful for you than you know. And I just want to wish you guys all a good evening, and God bless all of you.
Thank you very much, sir, and thank you as well for your willingness to serve. With that, we will, if there's no further questions or comments at this point, we'll pass around a signing sheet for which the record reads, in accordance with AS 3905080, the Senate Resource Committee has reviewed the following and recommends the appointments be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. That would be Board of Game, Alan Al Barrett of Fairbanks, and Orville Huntington of Fairbanks. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during any further sessions. With that, we'll take a brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. would like to again thank the appointees for being available and their willingness to serve, and for committee members for being here this afternoon. Our next committee meeting will be at 3:30 p.m. on Monday, April 15th, when we will take up SB 91, the Noyakuk River Hydroelectric Site. With that, this meeting is adjourned at 4:46 p.m.